You're listening to Kentucky Running, presented by John's Run Walk Shop in Lexington. Help others find this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing in your podcast app. This episode is sponsored by Curex Insoles.
Hey runners, Matt Reno here. Today on Kentucky Running, we're talking with Dr. Alex Edison and Dr. Jen Hsu of the University of Kentucky Sports Medicine Research Institute. We're talking about how runners can prevent common lower extremity injuries, specifically on the ankle and foot. And I gotta say, selfishly, I'm happy about the timing of this interview since I've been dealing with some Achilles tendon pain. And I've been doing the things you're supposed to do, resting, wearing shoes with a higher heel-to-toe drop, stuff like that. But maybe I'll learn something new today, and maybe you will too. Let's dive in right after this. Hey runners, real quick, I wanna tell you about Kentucky Running sponsor Curex Insoles, available at John's Run Walk Shop. Getting the right shoes on your feet is crucial, but it's only part of solving the foot health puzzle. You also need to make sure your arches are fully supported when you're running or just going through your day-to-day activities. Curex Run Pro insoles could be just what you need. Their flexible support and shock-absorbing cushioning help reduce fatigue. That prevents common running injuries, keeping you out there longer. Dynamic arch support with a deep decoupled heel cup fits, wraps, and locks the heel in place to improve stability, reduce pressure, and provide a perfect fit. And they help manage moisture with a mesh top layer and premium foam cushioning to keep your feet dry and running shoes fresh. They come in three profiles, high, medium, and low, to fit your individual arch type. I wear the medium profile, that's the yellow one, but to find which one works best for you, head to John's Run Walk Shop. Ask us to check out your arches and knee alignment, and we'll help you find the right pair of Curex Run Pro insoles for you. Learn more at johnsrunwalkshop.com/insoles. Alex and Jen, thanks for joining us on Kentucky Running. Let's start with a bit about yourselves and then tell us about UK's Sports Medicine Research Institute.
Yeah, I can go ahead and introduce myself first. So I'm Dr. Alex Edison. I have a PhD in human movement science from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. My research has been primarily in both ACL injury and now in ankle injuries. I look a lot at brain changes that we have after injury and changes in our sensory function and how that might predispose athletes who have had an injury before to maybe having a second injury and to kind of get into that more, how we can maybe prevent those from happening.
And Jen, what about you?
I'm Jen Hsu. I got my PhD at the University of Virginia in kinesiology and sports medicine. I'm also an athletic trainer and a strength coach. And, you know, my last name is pronounced Hsu, so I do shoe research and foot research kind of in general. That's my area, as well as the ankle, of course. I'm primarily looking at interventions that we can take once people already have an injury and how we can help them get better faster and stay healthier longer.
And what's the Institute's main mission?
The main mission at SMRI is really to conduct research in prevention and rehab for lower extremity injuries, especially in the ankle. That's kind of one area of focus. We also have some areas of focus for athlete and soldier performance, kind of with some military research. And then we also have space for equestrian.
So what are some of the more common ankle and foot injuries you see with runners?
Yeah, so we here at the SMRI, we focus primarily on the ankle, but obviously lower extremity is going to be more of those running related injuries. We see a lot of soft tissue overuse injuries, things like Achilles tendinopathy, which is basically irritation of that Achilles tendon, which is that big tendon at the back of your ankle. It is an overuse injury, especially happens with sudden increases in training or in speed work. We see a lot of ankle sprains, especially lateral ankle sprains. So if you're listening right now, if you go ahead and plant your foot on the floor and just kind of rock your ankle from side to side, we can see that we have a lot more range of motion on that lateral side. Unfortunately, that also means that's where we tend to have ankle sprains, although we do still have some medial ankle sprains. So ankle sprains on the inside of your ankle and also kind of high ankle sprains, but that lateral side's the most common. That's where we see stretching or tearing of ligaments. Usually happens by rolling your ankle on like uneven terrain, or if you're very fatigued, we see our running biomechanics kind of break down, and that's when we see those injuries happen. Another common injury that people always ask about are stress fractures. Stress fractures are kind of small cracks in the bone from repetitive impact. Again, happens from too much too soon as far as training goes, especially without proper recovery or making big changes quickly. So things like switching terrains or switching to a different type of shoe without really easing into those changes.
You've touched on some of the ways we can prevent this. For example, you mentioned too much too soon. How do we know if it's too much too soon? So let's say you sign up for a half marathon. You've only gone about 6 miles on your longest run. What's the best strategy you need to take for making sure you don't ramp up too quickly and injure yourself on the way to that race?
I would say the biggest thing is this big term we call load management. And the idea is that you are trying to actually structure your workouts, you know, so you're not just on a whim saying, oh, I think I could just run 10 miles today. Maybe when I was younger, I could have gotten away with that. but the main rule of thumb is the 10% rule. So you just generally don't want to increase something by more than 10%. And that doesn't mean increase your distance and your pace and or your intensity or whatever by 10% all the same week. You know, you want to make sure you're kind of just picking one thing. A lot of that can be from getting a running coach. Like, that's definitely something that can be helpful. So you're not going it alone if you don't really know what you're doing. The other thing is kind of noticing, like, you know, if you are feeling pain, especially pain that doesn't get better several hours after running, or pain that wakes you up at night, that's when you would want to go see a doctor. But hopefully, you know, you don't get to that point. The biggest thing is just knowing your body.
How can you tell when it's something you can push through, something that needs a few days of rest before going back at it, or something you need to seek medical attention for?
I think the biggest signs are pain at night, if it wakes you up, pain that gets worse while you run and kind of persists, anything like that, where a lot of times if you are feeling some muscle tightness, you might try some foam rolling gently, right? Some stretching and just kind of see how that feels. And if that doesn't really help and the pain persists, I think that's when it's a good time to see a doctor. And also, just over time, dealing with a nagging injury might not seem like a big deal, but if you don't get that taken care of, it kind of has effects down the line and can persist much longer if you just don't take care of it now. Sometimes it's worth it to take some extra time off to get better faster, I guess.
Yeah. Better to miss a few days or weeks of running rather than a few months, definitely. Let's talk about some other injury prevention techniques. We've talked about this on the show before. Don't skip warm-ups. What are some of your recommended warm-up routines for lower extremities?
Warming up is definitely one of those key injury prevention things that we do have control over. I know that you've had episodes before on warming up, but some of those key components are going to be getting the heart rate up, moving the body through different planes of motion. So we want to make sure that we're doing some dynamic stretches that are going to involve bending, twisting, and reaching. You can add in some different warm-ups like bounding, jumping, hopping, bouncing. And what you're really doing is actually getting those muscles warm and makes them a little bit more compliant and less susceptible to injury.
And what about after the run? What recovery techniques do you recommend?
So in terms of recovery, first things first, are really going to be making sure that we're rehydrating, we're refueling, and we're resting. We're obviously in a second, I'm going to talk about some of the different recovery tools that we can use. But if we are not doing those first three, then we're not recovering well, we're going to be fatigued, and we're not going to be able to maintain better form while running down the line, which is going to predispose us to injury. So those are kind of the three that we're going to want to make sure that we're taking care of. But in terms of after the run, there are certain recovery tools that you can use, like sauna, ice baths and cold plunging and things like that are pretty popular, massage therapy, Theragun. All kind of have different efficacies for different people. So you can kind of pick and choose what feels effective for you and helps you recover. This is where I would use some more static stretching. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be right after. It can be like later that evening when you're watching TV.
It's great that you said it doesn't need to be immediate, but is there a window of time that you should be stretching by to make sure you get the optimal benefits?
Yeah. So as far as stretching after a run, I would say you can do some light stretching within that like 10 to 15 minutes after, kind of the more important thing, rather than plopping down and stretching, is going to be doing some recovery walking and getting your heart rate down. Otherwise, you might feel a little bit dizzy if you just, stop and plop down right there and try and stretch out your hamstrings. Something that I would say is even more important than that post-run stretching is going to be our recovery tools of rehydrating, refueling, and resting after that run. So better recovery is going to equal less fatigue, which means we're going to be able to better maintain our form while running. We do have other recovery tools that we can also be using, like sauna, ice baths, sports massage, the Theragun, if that's something you enjoy. As far as like the efficacy for different people is going to be different. So that's kind of the nice thing, is that there's a lot of freedom and being able to kind of pick what you feel like works best for you.
I think the most important thing about stretching is hopefully you're not changing the length of your muscle, right? Because that means you're tearing it. But stretching is really just your brain adjusting to a specific sensation, right? You get to that end where you're like, oh, this feels really like a stretch. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to hold it. And you're really kind of telling your brain, hey, this is okay. So I think sometimes, you know, if you stretch after you run, you might just kind of feel looser. You might be able to stretch out a little further. But I guess it's hard, right? I haven't gotten into the literature of this specifically. But I think if we kind of look at static stretching, it's just the brain getting used to more positions. You could really do it at any time of day. It might just be easier after you run.
Alex, you've studied the relationship between injuries and our sensory functions. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So what my research has focused on has really been sensory changes after injury. So basically, in order to plan and execute our movements, our body uses our somatosensory function, which are things like our proprioception, like can our body like tell where our joints are in space. We have things like about the lower extremity, like plantar sensation. So how well you're able to feel on the bottom of your foot. We have our vestibular system and we have our visual system. And particularly in my PhD, when I was looking at anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction or the ACL, but the same holds true for the ankle, those ligaments are cool because they don't just hold our joints together. They actually give our brain information about what our lower extremity is doing. And when we have tearing, so in like a ankle sprain or when you tear your ACL, our brain loses some of that information. So then our body kind of sometimes tends to reweight where that information is coming from. So what we think is that those with lower extremity injury kind of reweight more towards their vision as far as planning and executing their movements, which is a really cool adaptation that our body can have. But then when we think about athletes, so we think about like a soccer player or a trail runner, when they're out doing their activities, right, they're not looking at their lower limb to see what their lower limb is doing. They're looking for the ball or they're looking for roots or rocks and stuff like that that they need to avoid while they're on their run. So my kind of hypothesis is, and where my research line is going, is just, does that sensory weighting more towards vision possibly predispose somebody to further injury? And is there anything that we can do to try, like as far as neuromuscular training, to maybe try and mitigate that risk?
Okay. And Jen, tell us about your research focus.
I'm kind of in a similar route. I'm exploring more plantar fasciitis. It's definitely very different from any sprains. You know, you might change the way you're walking and moving just because it hurts, as opposed to if you're, you know, dealing with an ankle sprain, you might change the way you walk or move because, you know, your tissue was stretched or disrupted and things like that. So because of that, can be really focused on just how much pain they feel. And so I have interest in increasing sensation to the bottom of the foot so that they may be able to kind of balance better and things like that. So kind of exploring that. Overall, for runners, even if you're running on a sidewalk, right, there can still be things in the way, like even a tree root coming up through the sidewalk or just things that are uneven, and you have to be able to react to those.
And of course, I love nerding out about footwear, so let's get into that. What are you looking for in footwear when it comes to injury prevention?
What I think of right footwear is footwear that is still intact and not full of holes. And what the research is really showing is that comfort is the most important thing. So certainly there might be some people with low arches who do like arch support, but some of them don't like arch support. And if you're kind of forcing them to wear them, but they're uncomfortable, I mean, that isn't going to feel great. So comfort is really important. The other thing that is part of that is making sure your footwear is still in good condition. And so most brands will have mileage for their footwear that tells you how long they can last for before you need a new pair. So it's important to keep track of that. Something other people might do is shoe rotation. So they might have different types of shoes or even the same shoe, but they're rotating it so that they don't go from, you know, a brand new shoe to really thin and then a brand new shoe and really thin. Comfort is key. And I think that's important too, as, you know, cost can become a factor with some running shoes, right? You do get what you pay for, so you don't want to just buy the cheapest model available.
Right. You don't have to spend top dollar, but you do want to be comfortable and treat shoes like an investment in your health. Alex, anything to add?
Something that I would add to that shoe conversation as well. At the beginning, we talked about too much, too soon, all of that, making big changes. When we're talking about shoes, if you're going from like kind of more of a maximalist shoe to something that's zero drop, that's something that you're going to want to gradually introduce into your rotation, but not just automatically switching. If you're, you know, somebody who has more of a maximalist shoe to going straight to zero drop could do things like cause stress fractures, particularly now Jen has a lot of research in looking at minimalist shoes. And that's definitely, those barefoot running shoes are definitely something that you don't want to just make an overnight switch to. There are a lot of research-backed programs out there on how to switch into those barefoot running shoes. And I think all of them are about 8 weeks of this kind of gradual moving into that minimalist shoe. No, because changing your shoe type is going to change your biomechanical running pattern. If we go from just kind of your more traditional running shoes to something that is more minimalist, it's a lot less comfortable to do a heel strike pattern. So people will shift into a 4 foot pattern. And if all of a sudden we're having this repetitive loading on different parts of our anatomical structures, that's where we get stress fractures. And that's when all of a sudden you're taking 20 weeks off of running.
And if you are injured and feeling like you need professional help, who should you see?
Definitely try to make an appointment with a physician, like an orthopedic surgeon, even though they mostly do surgeries. When working with athletic populations, like college athletes, for example, they might not spring straight for surgery. You know, they might elect for some physical therapy and treatments and things like that, depending on kind of the age. The other doctor that could be beneficial would be someone who's in physical medicine and rehabilitation. So that's a physiatrist. And they, you know, are more focused on non-surgical interventions. Those are two areas that you can look into. Hopefully, if it's soft tissue, right, they can say, okay, let's go to physical therapy, right? And that's something that is very important to have guidance. You know, even me as an athletic trainer, I know what to do when I'm injured, but I still go and seek outside help just so that it's more of an objective treatment. For many injuries, strengthening and movement is just going to be the key. And to have some guidance on that is great. So, you know, for physical therapy, certainly if a doctor writes you a note, you can go through insurance and go to PT. But there's also something new-ish called cash-based PT. And so it doesn't go through insurance. You don't have to go see a doctor first. You can just make an appointment straight away with them. It is quite a bit more expensive. You know, you might be able to get some out-of-network reimbursement, but generally they have a lot more flexibility in how they can treat you, can see you sooner, and I've had good experiences with that.
Yeah. And I was just going to kind of tag on to that, just what those stages of rehab are going to look like are going to be different depending on the injury. But in general, those stages of rehab are going to be the same. They're just kind of the length of time is going to be different. So our first stage is going to be that symptom management, reduction of loading, which could just mean time off of running. It could mean immobilization, like in a boot, for something like a stress fracture. You mentioned that you were currently going through your Achilles issues. I recently broke my ankle back in August, so I'm currently in this whole rehab return to run thing. It's not fun. So that first is going to be that symptom management, reduction of loading. I was in a boot for about 6 weeks. recovery are going to be those graduated kind of reloading protocols, where the goal is going to be pain-free participation during and after your normal activities and just your normal walking gait. So not having pain as you're walking around at work or just kind of doing your light household chores. And then you're going to be able to move into a rebuilding phase where we're going to work on rebuilding muscular strength and balance. Here we can kind of try and maintain that cardiovascular conditioning through things like body weight supported cycling. So we want to make sure we're not doing anything crazy like trying to get out of the saddle, but just having our body weight supported. If you are in physical therapy, you might have access to like deep water running, anti-gravity treadmill training. But again, that's not the kind of thing that most people are going to have just at their YMCA. So that's going to be something you get more in a clinic. And then finally, that return to sport phase where there's a gradual reintroduction to running. And the focus here is really running only at levels that don't cause any kind of compensatory gait patterns, where we're trying to offload that injured part. And in the process, we shift the load to somewhere else and cause another injury, which unfortunately is pretty common.
Okay, Jen, Alex, you've given us a lot of good advice here. I hope this helps our listeners stay injury-free so they can keep on moving. Thank you so much for coming on Kentucky Running and sharing your knowledge.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And something that we can also send that maybe you could put in the show notes is just a link to the Sports Medicine Research Institute. So if you are local to Lexington, we do have a lot of studies both for runners who are injured and non-injured. So there's a lot of cool opportunities to get involved.
Lots of good advice there. Thanks again to Jen and Alex for joining the show. Check the show notes for details about UKSMRI. Also, if you are in the healthcare industry, check the show notes to sign up for our Medical Professionals Night sponsored by HOKA. We'll have multiple vendors there sharing info on products meant to support foot health for your patients. Attendees will get free insoles, chances to win prizes, including shoes, and much more. That's all happening on November 20th at our new store in Hamburg. Again, click the link in the show notes for details. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps others find the show, and it helps you stay on top of great info like what we got in today's episode. For John's Run Walk Shop, I'm Matt Reno. We'll talk again soon on Kentucky Running.